T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Into this, why did you decide to tour the States?
Because I have written and recorded over 100 songs since I started songwriting in January. I just discovered I could songwrite when a song called Cold Hard Cash, which is one of my most recent releases, I'm releasing one single a week. Anyway, this song came to me in the middle of the night, and I just suddenly realized, I reckon I can probably songwrite. And I've been an avid listener and music obsessive all of my life, and luckily, you know, I'm in my 20s still, just about. I've just turned 29, and I just thought, you know what, I'm gonna try and write as many songs as possible and then put my all into promoting them, and, you know, have a chance at being like one of my idols, you know, like John Lennon or Elton John, or, you know, the people who really, to me, make me want to get up in the morning.
So you had never taken any music classes or known anything about music before this?
No, I mean, I just listened lots. I've struck up a friendship with Elton's drummer. So he's called Nigel Olsen. He's been playing with Elton John since 1969. And so
How
as a result...
happen, by the way?
Sorry?
How did that happen?
Well, I, you know, I've got a business where I make clothing as well. So I've got like a merchandise line to go with my music. And Nigel likes it, so we struck up a friendship, and that led to me going to over 30 Elton John concerts. So, and alongside that, I've seen people, you know, like Eagles, Fleetwood Mac, Crosby, Stills and Nash, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, Simply Red, Carlos Santana. I mean, the list could go on forever and ever. I've been to so many concerts, and I can play stuff by ear. I can write by ear, but I'm going to get some formal classical music training as well now that I'm devoting my time to this. I'm not taking this half-heartedly, and but yeah, I'm lucky to be blessed with a songwriting ability without any musical guidance or training at all.
Wow. So I'm really interested in this piece about the addiction and the eating disorder, and I know that to get over that, you kind of have to connect with what you were trying to stuff down, right, with these. Is that what's coming out in your songs? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there are two things that that lead to me being, you know, or at least I think I'm a good songwriter. Because I think you really have to have lived to want to write songs. And for better or for worse, I've definitely lived. So I was an alcoholic, and, you know, I'd say I had a problem with food, definitely. But I mean, mainly it was a problem with drinks. You know, I'm talking like 10,000 calories a night of booze, whatever I can pour down my throat from like 6 p.m. till 6 a.m. on quite a regular basis. And I'm not talking about like in your mid-20s, maybe that happens once in a while. For sure, that's relatively normal among some people who want to, you know, live fast in their 20s. But I'm talking about if I'd done this on a Saturday night, I'd want to do it again on like a Sunday night by the end of this. I gained 30 kilos in weight. My problem with food usually stemmed from by the time everybody wanted to go home and I couldn't buy any more people's shots and I couldn't, you know, continue the party any longer. I usually ended up in Domino's, you know, with garlic dip all down my jacket and, you know, eating a pizza by the bins so as not to wake up my girlfriend, my incredibly tolerant girlfriend, Debs.
Just to let you know, Domino's is headquartered here in Ann Arbor. They have a farm.
So I hear. That's, yes. You know, alongside going to visit Motown whilst I'm in Detroit and, you know, in Michigan, I'm planning to visit the flagship branch of Domino's. And also, unreleased, I actually wrote a song called Domino's at Midnight, which will be out in a couple of months, which
really?
Is quite a good tune, actually. I'm looking forward to... I haven't pitched it to Domino's because I doubt they'd get back to me. But, you know, if Domino's are listening to this, I'm going to call it Papa John's at Midnight unless I get a good cash offer.
So what was fueling this, though, do you think, this drinking problem?
I think I was dissatisfied with not pursuing my dreams. I think deep down I probably knew, like, oh, I want to be like Elton John. I want to be like John Lennon. I want to be like all these people who I go and see in concert and whose records I listen to all day and whose interviews I read all the time. You know, my life is music, but who am I? I've just, I'm just a fan, but I don't have anything else, you know. A lot of people who are music fans have like solid careers in XYZ, but I felt extremely dissatisfied with my professional life.
Making clothes.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing quite well entrepreneurially.
Afford all that booze in London, you must have been.
yeah. I mean, I spent more than I can afford. That's another one of my problems. But I just didn't feel like I was doing what I was meant to be doing. And that led to me drinking very, very heavily. And giving that up, I channeled all that energy into music. And it's been a really good thing. But I mean, you know, I hate to sound like yet another person with a sob story, because everywhere you turn, there's a sort of like a musician or a rock star or a pop star or whatever talking about addiction and stuff. But I guess, you know, society has evolved and people are open about their problems. And I guess that's a good thing. But yeah, there's that catch 22, you know, should you use these things to market your music? But I mean, this is as honest and sincere as it gets, so you know, I'm happy to own those past problems in this manner.
To be honest, there's something going on right now. I think this is the second or third interview I've done today. I just talked to a guy who was a Wall Street lawyer and now is a comedian.
All right.
I mean, it takes so much courage. Well, more if you have a career like that where he was making a lot of money, but to follow your dreams. And how did you get did you go to AA?
No, I just...
How did you get from that to having the money and everything to tour here?
So, I mean, you know, money through my businesses before, you know, that like money, I'm tight for cash, obviously, because I'm a self-funded independent artist. But I've managed to make enough money through entrepreneurial stuff before pursuing music. But I was spending it all on booze rather than on following my dream. Or rather than saving up for a house with my girlfriend of nearly 10 years. So I wasn't in a great place. I gathered the courage to do this and give up drinking after an incident at my girlfriend's dad's 60th birthday. That was the final straw. And actually, it's been nearly 2 years. Yeah. Well, I got so drunk. He was celebrating in this really fancy Michelin-starred restaurant in London. And I turned up just completely like plastered, made a total fool of myself. We got served these delicious chocolate puddings. I grabbed the entire pudding with my fork and sort of like plastered all over my mouth like that. I was wearing sunglasses indoors. This was before I was a rock star. Now I do that all the time. I made a total fool of myself. And, you know, it was the first time I'd really shown how much of a imbecile I was in front of my girlfriend's parents. And so I got back home and I just didn't really know what to do. So I printed out, I didn't go to AAA, but I printed out a sort of pros and cons of drinking questionnaire. And there were 50 cons to continuing drinking. And there was only one pro. And that pro was, I still want to seem like I'm a lot of fun. And you don't need to drink to be fun. I mean, some people can have a couple of drinks and get tipsy and then go home and stuff. And that's fine. But I obviously couldn't do that. And to be honest, I think I was quite a bore for people to have to put up with. Because not everybody's as obsessed with Phil Collins and Toto as I am. But you can rest assured that if I'm drunk, you're going to have that music right up in your face.
Peter Gabriel all the way for me, by the way. You're so lucky, though, to have someone who stuck with you through that. Wow.
Yeah. Debs has been incredibly tolerant, and now she's managing me and steering my career and helping me. Because, you know, at the end of the day, all I'm good for is writing songs.
She's the boss.
She's the boss. Well, yeah. I mean, an unassuming boss. She never takes credit for anything. So I think it would be... You know, it's high time she took some more credit, but it would definitely be a good thing if I followed her instructions.
What's the most intriguing thing you've seen so far? How many states have you been to, by the way?
I think this is state 18. Okay. The most intriguing thing that we've seen so far would be difficult because we've been so dedicated to gigging that it's almost been like, you know, it's been a gig every single night pretty much. And then a six or seven hour drive a lot of the time. But I really think... what I wasn't expecting that's been amazing is that no matter how different the states are, whether we're in California or North Dakota, or last night we were in Indiana, and no matter how different the accents are or how different the landscape is or the culture is, everybody's been incredibly friendly. And, you know, America's the size of a continent. So, yeah, that has been really remarkable. No matter where we've gone, people have welcomed us with open arms. And a lot of people say things about America that are negative, but I've only got positive things to say.
Have you been going at it for a month, or how long has it been?
It's been a month, yeah, just over a month. We started in Los Angeles, and we're going to finish there. So we're sort of doing
a loop. Save the South for the winter.
Yeah, exactly. We're following the good weather, because despite the miserable weather in England, you know, I find it quite difficult to deal with the cold. North Dakota was pretty brutal weather-wise, but yeah, I mean, as long as there's the music to play and the gigs to do, I'm very happy.
So what are you most looking forward to in Detroit, and what do you know about Detroit, by the way?
Well, I know Detroit is the home of some of my favorite music, so, you know, I'm probably overlooking a lot of other things that
Iggy,
Detroit is famous
MC5,
for.
MC5, just throwing these out there.
I mean,
White Stripes,
Eminem, Bob Seger, Motown, Aretha Franklin. I've actually got a podcast coming out in January where I've interviewed some of my idols, and you know, it's like a video podcast, and some of the people that I've interviewed are very crucial to Motown and to Detroit. I interviewed Smokey Robinson, and I interviewed Otis, who's the last surviving original member from the Temptations, Otis Williams. And Motown music is one of the biggest influences on what I do, because even though I'm British, a lot of my music is like very Motown influence. So to come here, like the first thing I'm going to do after this is go to Hitsville, and it's, you know, it's like a pilgrimage for me to do that. And I you know, I just want to get stuck into the music here. Bob Seger's another one. I saw him at the Forum in LA. He's from Detroit, isn't he?
Yes. Yep. I think he grew up in Ann Arbor, but yeah.
I mean, it's
for some reason there are so many musicians who started in Detroit.
Yeah, it's obviously, and when I talked to Smokey Robinson, he was saying how Aretha Franklin just grew up like just down the road from him here.
Yeah,
I mean, it must be one of the places that's produced some of the best musicians of all time, more than almost anywhere, and quite different styles, you know, from Aretha to Eminem. Eminem, really, I must say, is one of the most talented, incredible people to have ever lived. His lyrics and his storytelling ability are just astonishing. His determination, his relentless work ethic. I think he's just an absolutely brilliant person. He couldn't be any more different from me. But, you know, I grew up watching 8 Mile.
You're not straight out the trailer.
No. You know, I'm a posh kid. but you know, at least I'm trying to do something different rather than join the old boys club of privilege, which is something that I really detest.
Where did you go to school, by the way?
I went to Eton, which is the same school that the princes went to. I just missed Prince Harry, but I really couldn't give a monkey's about any of that stuff. I'm very lucky to have been privileged, though, and I think to sort of like tread lightly around that would be a little lame, and it's like not telling the truth and stuff. I you know, I was spoilt as a kid to have, my parents spent a lot of money on my education, so for me to lie about that would be foolish. But yeah, I'm not really into the Boris Johnsons and the you know, Eton old boys network of privilege. But I'm not against it. I had a great time there, and I've got many friends from there. But it's, you know, I guess it's a different world to what I'm trying to do now, really.
Right. So are you afraid, you know, because of our gun culture, Detroit does have high crime. We still are working on, you know, taking care of all the abandoned buildings, et cetera. Is there anything you've seen so far that shocked you, and are you afraid? There's two questions.
No, I'm not afraid. And nothing has shocked me so far. Maybe something will. Yeah, I mean, I'll just try and be as safe as possible. But I've tried to, you know, I've experienced some pretty rough things, particularly in my, you know, my like drinking years. They weren't like going to get boozed in fancy places. A lot of the time I kind of preferred like getting drunk in dive bars and things like that, because they're more often than not, they let you control the music a bit more. And like, I really liked singing karaoke before this music, you know, proper professional music started. So, and karaoke nights aren't like really very fashionable in swanky places. So again, like, I've been to some really rough type of places before, nothing has seemed that rough that I've been, you know, that I've seen so far in Detroit. And yeah, I mean, everybody's been friendly as normal. You know, I understand that maybe people are still working on trying to get crime down here, but I'm sure hopefully we'll only experience the good things. And if we experience the bad things, you know, then hopefully we'll be able to deal with it.
I know that your 20s are sort of for figuring things out, but what would you say to people who sort of don't have the courage to just do what you're doing? Because there's fear of not having money, and of course you have parents at home if you really got in trouble. But
I'd say it's very, very hard to do anything like this. Like, I'm still figuring it out. I'm still at the bottom of the ladder. So the main advice I'd give people, from my own experiences and not speaking to any success that I've had, my main advice would be to work as hard as possible and to really try and analyze your intentions and see whether they're positive or not. And if you're harboring any ill feeling towards people, any negativity, if people don't care enough, like if you're going into something creative like music and you think like, oh, my friends don't care enough, or XYZ, they don't care enough, that's not a good attitude to have. You always need to see things from other people's perspective, and you always need to work hard, and you can't expect anything. Anything that happens to you is a bonus. Like, we've been on TV, and here we are speaking on the radio, and we've got some press coverage, but a lot of the time we've had doors slammed in our faces, people telling us to F off and, saying horrible things. I don't care about any of that. I only care about the yeses. I don't care about the noes. The noes, I wish the noes all the best. I wish all the people who don't come to my gigs all the best, and who don't listen to my songs all the best. But the people who I really care about are the people who dig what I'm doing.
We call that entitled, by the way, when you expect someone to do something. Right?
Well, yeah, exactly. Entitlement is the worst attitude. And I think no matter where you come from, a lot of people are sort of like entitled that, they think things should happen to them no matter what. I think you really have to work in life for every single thing that you get. So, I mean, just hard work seems to be the only thing that pays off. Just dedicate all your time. And that's why, I don't want to have a day off. I haven't had a day off since I stopped drinking, really.
So how long are you here, and where can people meet you, or can they?
So we're here for 2 days. The venue that we're playing, I think, only got confirmed yesterday, so I'm not sure of it, but it will be on my website, tomcridland.com, and I'm appearing on TV tomorrow.
Fox 2?
Yeah.
You know what TV is? Okay.
I'm really looking forward to it, and then we're going to be finishing this challenge where we play a gig in every state other than Hawaii and Alaska. So we'll have to come back next year and do all 50.
Okay. So you wrote a song here, not the Domino's one. Have you written the Detroit song yet?
I haven't written a Detroit song yet, but I'll have to do that whilst I'm here. I mean, Domino's at Midnight, I wrote pretty much all my songs earlier this year. A lot of them I wrote in Mexico. But Domino's, was about... It's an export from Michigan, Domino's, of course, but it's landed safely on British Isles to keep everyone well fed. It was about those times when I soaked up all the booze with Domino's, which, of course, is a bad use for such a delicious pizza.
So can we follow you on social? You mentioned Facebook. Yeah, are you on Instagram?
I'm at the Tom Cridland on all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, everything. And it's at the Tom Cridland, not because... I'm a knob end, but because I think Tom Cridland was already taken by someone and I couldn't get hold of them.
Spell Cridland for people.
Yeah.
Can you spell Cridland for people?
C-R-I-D-L-A-N-D.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.